You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to DottoTech. I'm Steve Dotto. Glad that you're joining us today. Got a great show lined up today. Art Factor, my producer, sitting in. How are you doing, Art?
Loving the day.
You're happy, man?
Well, it's halfway through the week. Yeah, absolutely.
You're happy every weekend on Wednesday.
Because you forgot about how great last weekend it was, and you're looking forward to how great this weekend's going to be.
Well, last weekend was good. This weekend should be good too. But let's celebrate Wednesday for what it is, because Wednesday is DottoTech Day.
Yes. And that's also why I'm happy.
That makes it a good day too. It's like a party in the middle of the week for all of our loyal listeners.
It's like a Friday on a Wednesday.
We got a great show lined up. We're going to be looking at HP's new touchpad running Web OS. I got one in my hands and I'm impressed. You're happy with your little tablet, aren't you?
I'm still playing with my Galaxy Tab every single day.
And tablets are increasingly becoming a part of our lives. HP is making a strong play to find a position in that space. So we're going to be taking a look at that. And this is something that I've wanted to do almost since the first day we did the show. I wanted to talk to Clearly Contacts. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I know. I've seen the displays and advertisements everywhere.
Now, you don't need Clearly Contacts because you had the laser eye surgery happening.
Yeah, that was almost 3.5 years ago.
And your vision's never been better.
I can see the little hairs on your forehead.
That's a... Thanks. Now I'm uncomfortable sitting in here, Art.
I'll turn around.
That's good. Well, Clearly Contacts started out by dispensing contact lenses online, saving people money, but they've expanded now into the world of selling glasses and ordering glasses online. I've done it. It works. It's cool. But not only that, this is a company that really gets social media. They use Facebook to great effect. And they've really become kind of part of the fabric of that whole Web 2.0 world. So we're going to be taking a look at Clearly Contacts. So basically just a great show set up today.
I can't wait.
We are back with Sharif Ibrahim, who is with HP. We're talking about the new touchpad, which I have been playing with now, and more than impressed. Now, as I went through all of the different settings, because one of the first places that all geeks go is into the settings area and into the control panel, I noticed a missing command from many tablets, the ability to be able to print directly from the touchpad. But I guess coming from HP, that should be no surprise.
So I'm sorry, you said you couldn't find a print?
Oh, no, I found it. I found the ability to print, which I find missing on so many other tablets.
Oh, yes, and that's something that's deeply integrated in this as well. And I was actually, we were talking to the printing product manager today, and they're interested in showing off touchpad and how easy it is to print. And I got to say, I've had people, you know, send me messages and just say, I can't believe how easy it is to print from this touchpad. You literally, whether you're in an email or a photo, wherever you are that you want to print, you have the option to do it. It will find a printer on the same network, as long as it's connected to the network, and without looking for drivers or anything, it'll go ahead and print to that printer. And this is, it's essentially, you know, the vast majority of any HP printer we launched in the last 5 years.
Oh, wow. And that does make a huge difference. Now, let's talk a little bit about the initial installation and the integration into our personal lives. One of the things that it allowed me to do right away is to sign up for a WebOS account online. And it also allowed me to sign into my Google account, which immediately got all of my email and all of my calendar items and all that sort of stuff. Talk to me about what the WebOS online account is going to give to me over time.
The WebOS account is really designed to help you manage all of your personal information as well as applications and services. And we don't store anything personal. All we really are doing is we're saying that, you know, this account, this belongs to you. As you purchase applications, we're going to remember which ones you purchased so that if you, let's say you lose the device or you break it, or let's say better yet, you know, you get the next model that comes out someday and you want to move all your stuff over. You don't have to take this touchpad. I mean, you must have noticed, you didn't have to hook it to a computer like a PC or Mac. You just turned it on and you set it up. With this WebOS account, what it does is it stores all that information. So when you go to a new device, you just sign onto your WebOS account. All of your applications, all of your settings come right back. And so it makes it really easy for us to help you store your information in the cloud. And what we do as well is we're fairly open in terms of letting developers and services add their features into the device. So you mentioned Google. When you add a Google account, what it does is it says, okay, I'm going to take your, so I'm going to look at Steve's Google Documents. He's also got Gmail, and he's also got Google Calendar. I'm going to take all that information, and I'm going to put it in the Touchpad's document folder. I'm going to put it in the calendar application and the email application. So now when you go into those apps, it's just there. And as you add more stuff to your calendar from different devices or documents on Google Docs, it'll just be there. And we do this with a number of other providers. We do this with Facebook, Dropbox, Google, Yahoo, and several others. And you can actually find, if you just go into Just Type, which I could talk about in a sec, but you just type accounts and you'll find dozens and dozens of accounts available at launch as well as in the App Store.
Okay, and let's circle back to the App Store in a minute, but you mentioned Just Type. Fill me in on that.
So we made it fairly intuitive and easy to find things on the device. We really say it is designed to work the way you do. And the whole way you find applications on this, you've got a fairly straightforward launch pad in the bottom of the screen where you can find your shortcuts.
Yep.
Like your web browser, your email, some of the common stuff.
Yeah.
You can also jump into this app page where you can find all your different apps and settings.
Yes.
What we've done to make it easier, though, is we've created something called Just Type. So you literally think about doing something, you type it, and WebOS will help you get to it. So it's not just searching for things. So I can start typing something in. I can find applications. I can find different settings. I can also find contact info and quickly determine, okay, I want to text message this person, or I'm going to Skype call them. Right away, I can jump in and do that. Where it gets really different, though, is I can also do things like update to Facebook or Twitter. I can also search the web. And when I say search the web, I can search engines that it's learned to pick up as I've surfed the web, so it's intelligent enough to add more. So imagine I just start typing having coffee with Steve. There's my option to post to Twitter, and away I go. It
now,
takes a lot of steps.
How do you launch the Just Type? I'm looking at the settings, but I haven't noticed Just Type as a commander being able to get into it to just type things. So where do I go to do that?
Well, it's literally when you have the touchpad on, it's at the very top of the screen. There's a bubble, a window actually, that it just says Just Type.
Mm-hmm.
And you just tap your finger on that. And for example, if you start typing the letters.
Oh, yeah, I see.
RI, you'll find, you know, sounds and ringtones pop up. You'll find
sounds
contact.
And ringtones just popped up. So if I type in applications, as you said, all of my different applications, yep, the app catalog is there and all the different contacts with the names beginning with AP or that combination of letters.
Yeah,
that's very intuitive.
It's actually pretty simple. And if you scroll down to the bottom, you'll find actions. And it's smart enough, as you type a sentence, it's smart enough to realize, okay, you're not looking for an application. You're trying to do something different here, like post to Facebook or maybe launch an email. You notice at the bottom there under quick actions, you have a few things like I can start a new memo or...
Mm-hmm.
And as you download more applications, like I just downloaded Spaz HD, which is a great Twitter client, and it now has added that in as another quick action so I can post to Twitter.
And if it doesn't find it, or if it's also bringing up Google search right away as well, so you can quickly go out on the web and search for whatever you're doing. So it gives you the one point of access just by typing in to do almost everything. That's fascinating. Very cool feature. Now let's finish things up by talking a little bit about the apps themselves, because that's one of the strengths that certainly the Android and both the Android and Apple have going for them are the thousands and thousands of apps. Now, of those many thousands of apps, how many are useful? That's arguable. What about you guys at launch? You've got the HP App Store. Tell me about it.
So we've got the HP App Catalog. We've done a couple of different things. We have been working with developers over the last several months, a lot of effort and energy to get people really psyched about building for the platform. And I think what sets us apart, in addition to being a really easy-to-use UI, we've got that synergy that brings all your stuff together. Developers can find a lot of unique ways to plug into our OS. So things like Just Type, for example, things like our notification system, our exhibition mode, where when you charge it wirelessly, it can do things for you, like turn into a photo frame or a calendar. There's a lot of unique places that developers can plug into that's different. More importantly, though, for developers, they're looking for an install base. They want to know that their application is going to have a large audience. And with a powerful brand like HP's, one that, you know, in virtually every category that we compete in, we have a strong presence, also knowing that we're going to launch this on notebooks next year and on printers, there's now a bigger install base for them to begin to draw on. And I think the most encouraging thing we have right now is that we actually launched with just over 300 tablet-optimized apps. When you look at what others have been able to accomplish at a launch, no one has come close to that. And, you know, in terms of, you know, you mentioned a couple competitors, there are some OSs out there right now, reputable ones, that don't have anywhere near that many tablet applications. And so not only do we have, you know, between 7,000 and 8,000 smartphone applications that you can use on the touchpad, we've got over 300 touchpad-optimized applications that take advantage of the big screen. And this is from a number of different things like games, magazines, you know, productivity apps, etc. The other thing we've done that's very different is we've actually created something called Pivot, which you'll probably have a chance to play with it either later today or tomorrow. After you've opened up the App Store and played with it for a bit, it'll start downloading this magazine called Pivot. And Pivot is basically a magazine that allows people to read about what's the latest and greatest apps in the App Store. And it makes it easier for developers to market their apps. It also makes it easier for people that are shopping for apps to find things. So, if, for example, we have an article this month on music.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a music lover, you know, check out iHeartRadio or this other application here, and you can actually read about it and then quickly go into the app catalog and find that application.
Well, we started out today talking about the launch of Touchpad, but really this is the coming out party for WebOS, which is going to be, I think, part of our landscape for a long time to come. I have to thank Sharif Ibrahim from HP. Thanks for your time, and you're tuned in to Dottotech.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
We are back with Sharif Ibrahim, who is with HP. We're talking about the new touchpad, which I have been playing with now, and more than impressed. Now, as I went through all of the different settings, because one of the first places that all geeks go is into the settings area and into the control panel, I noticed a missing command from many tablets, the ability to be able to print directly from the touchpad. But I guess coming from HP, that should be no surprise.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, you said you couldn't find a print?
Oh, no, I found it. I found the ability to print, which I find missing on so many other tablets.
Oh, yes, and that's something that's deeply integrated in this as well. And I was actually, we were talking to the printing product manager today, and they're interested in showing off touchpad and how easy it is to print. And I got to say, I've had people, you know, send me messages and just say, I can't believe how easy it is to print from this touchpad. You literally, whether you're in an email or a photo, wherever you are that you want to print, you have the option to do it. It will find a printer on the same network, as long as it's connected to the network, and without looking for drivers or anything, it'll go ahead and print to that printer. And this is, so it's essentially, you know, the vast majority of any HP printer we launched in the last 5 years.
Oh, wow. And that does make a huge difference. Now, let's talk a little bit about the initial installation and the integration into our personal lives. One of the things that it allowed me to do right away is to sign up for a WebOS account online. And it also allowed me to sign into my Google account, which immediately got all of my email and all of my calendar items and all that sort of stuff. Talk to me about what the WebOS online account is going to give to me over time.
The WebOS account is really designed to help you manage all of your personal information as well as applications and services. And we don't store anything personal. All we really are doing is we're saying that, you know, this account, this belongs to you. As you purchase applications, we're going to remember which ones you purchased so that if you, let's say you lose the device or you break it, or let's say better yet, you know, you get the next model that comes out someday and you want to move all your stuff over. You don't have to take this touchpad. I mean, you must have noticed, you didn't have to hook it to a computer like a PC or Mac. You just turned it on and you set it up. With this WebOS account, what it does is it stores all that information. So when you go to a new device, you just sign onto your WebOS account. All of your applications, all of your settings come right back. And so it makes it really easy for us to help you store your information in the cloud. And what we do as well is we're fairly open in terms of letting developers and services add their features into the device. So you mentioned Google. When you add a Google account, what it does is it says, okay, I'm going to take your, so I'm going to look at Steve's Google Documents. He's also got Gmail, and he's also got Google Calendar. I'm going to take all that information, and I'm going to put it in the Touchpad's document folder. I'm going to put it in the Calendar application and the email application. So now when you go into those apps, it's just there. And as you add more stuff to your calendar from different devices or documents on Google Docs, it'll just be there. And we do this with a number of other providers. We do this with Facebook, Dropbox, Google, Yahoo, and several others. And you can actually find, if you just go into Just Type, which I could talk about in a sec, but you just type accounts, and you'll find dozens and dozens of accounts available at launch as well as in the App Store.
Okay, and let's circle back to the App Store in a minute, but you mentioned Just Type. Fill me in on that.
So, you know, we made it fairly intuitive and easy to find things on the device. We really say it is designed to work the way you do. And the whole way you find applications on this, you've got a fairly straightforward launch pad in the bottom of the screen where you can find your shortcuts.
Yep.
Like your web browser, your email, some of the common stuff.
Yeah.
You can also jump into this app page where you can find all your different apps and settings.
Yes.
What we've done to make it easier, though, is we've created something called Just Type. So you literally think about doing something, you type it, and WebOS will help you get to it. So it's not just searching for things. So I can start typing something in. I can find applications. I can find different settings. I can also find contact info and quickly determine, okay, I want to text message this person, or I'm going to Skype call them. Right away, I can jump in and do that. Where it gets really different, though, is I can also do things like update to Facebook or Twitter. I can also search the web. And when I say search the web, I can search engines that it's learned to pick up as I've surfed the web, so it's intelligent enough to add more. So imagine I just start typing having coffee with Steve. There's my option to post to Twitter, and away I go. It
now,
takes a lot of steps.
How do you launch the Just Type? I'm looking at the settings, but I haven't noticed Just Type as a commander being able to get into it to just type things. So where do I go to do that?
Well, it's literally when you have the touchpad on, it's at the very top of the screen. There's a bubble, a window, actually, that it just says Just Type.
Mm-hmm.
And you just tap your finger on that. And, for example, if you start typing the letters...
Oh, yeah, I see.
R-I, you'll find, you know, sounds and ringtones pop up. You'll find
sounds
contact.
And ringtones just popped up. So if I type in applications, as you said, all of my different applications, yep, the app catalog is there and all the different contacts with the names beginning with AP or that combination of letters.
Yeah, and
that's very intuitive.
It's actually pretty simple. And if you scroll down to the bottom, you'll find actions. And it's smart enough, as you type a sentence, it's smart enough to realize, okay, you're not looking for an application. You're trying to do something different here, like post to Facebook or maybe launch an email. You notice at the bottom there under quick actions, you have a few things like I can start a new memo or...
Mm-hmm.
And as you download more applications, like I just downloaded Spaz HD, which is a great Twitter client, and it now has added that in as another quick action so I can post to Twitter.
And if it doesn't find it, or if it's also bringing up Google search right away as well, so you can quickly go out on the web and search for whatever you're doing. So it gives you the one point of access just by typing in to do almost everything. That's fascinating. Very cool feature. Now let's finish things up by talking a little bit about the apps themselves, because that's one of the strengths that certainly the Android and Apple have going for them are the thousands and thousands of apps. Now, of those many thousands of apps, how many are useful? That's arguable. What about you guys at launch? You've got the HP App Store. Tell me about it.
So we've got the HP App Catalog. We've done a couple of different things. We have been working with developers over the last several months, a lot of effort and energy to get people really psyched about building for the platform. And I think what sets us apart, in addition to being a really easy-to-use UI, we've got that synergy that brings all your stuff together. Developers can find a lot of unique ways to plug into our OS, so things like Just Type, for example, things like our notification system, our exhibition mode, where when you charge it wirelessly, it can do things for you, like turn into a photo frame or a calendar. There's a lot of unique places that developers can plug into that's different. More importantly, though, for developers, they're looking for an install base. They want to know that their application is going to have a large audience. And with a powerful brand like HP's, one that, you know, in virtually every category that we compete in, we have a strong presence, also knowing that we're going to launch this on notebooks next year and on printers, there's now a bigger install base for them to begin to draw on. And I think the most encouraging thing we have right now is that we actually launched with just over 300 tablet-optimized apps. When you look at what others have been able to accomplish at a launch, no one has come close to that. And, you know, in terms of, you know, you mentioned a couple competitors, there are some OSs out there right now, reputable ones, that don't have anywhere near that many tablet applications. And so not only do we have, you know, between 7,000 and 8,000 smartphone applications that you can use on the touchpad, we've got over 300 touchpad optimized applications that take advantage of the big screen, and this is from a number of different things like games, magazines, you know, productivity apps, etc. The other thing we've done that's very different is we've actually created something called Pivot, which you'll probably have a chance to play with it either later today or tomorrow. After you've opened up the App Store and played with it for a bit, it'll start downloading this magazine called Pivot. And Pivot is basically a magazine that allows people to read about what's the latest and greatest apps in the App Store. And it makes it easier for developers to market their apps. It also makes it easier for people that are shopping for apps to find things. So, you know, for example, we have an article this month on music.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a music lover, you know, check out iHeartRadio or this other application here, and you can actually read about it and then quickly go into the app catalog and find that application.
Well, we started out today talking about the launch of Touchpad, but really this is the coming out party for WebOS, which is going to be, I think, part of our landscape for a long time to come. I have to thank Sharif Emberhim from HP. Thanks for your time, and you're tuned in to Dottotech.
App of the Week is brought to you by MacStation, your Apple solutions experts.
It might not be my favorite segment in the show, but it's the one that I dominate. It's App of the Week when Chris Miller comes in to thrust down a yet another gauntlet of his apps better than my app. And I think the score, do you know what the score is, Art? Is it?
Well, last time I checked, I think it was somewhere around 9-1.
9 or 10-1 since we actually started keeping score.
Okay, it's not fair. You pay the ref.
Welcome.
I'm not the ref. I'm just an audience member.
Welcome.
That's what the ref always says.
Welcome to the NHL. it didn't work for the Canucks. It's not going to work for you. What do you got, Chris?
Well, today, I tell you what. Do you know what the term unicorn means?
If you're insulting me, that's not the way to. That's not the way to keep your place on the show.
No. A unicorn in geek terms.
Okay.
Is something we refer to as a very, very attractive girl who's also a geek because they're uncatchable and so far not really proven to exist. So they're referred to as unicorns in the geek community. And so I
send your emails to MacStation Chris Miller if you have any comments.
It's complimentary. In any case, I happen to know a couple. And one I asked, hey, what's an app that you're using all the time? Now, she is absolutely fantastic and always really knowledgeable on this stuff. And she recommended to me something called...
You're looking it up because you don't even know.
Worldview. Now, she's a constant traveler. She's always bouncing about. And this, what it is you can tap on it and it opens up any webcam from around the world. So you can look at, say, the webcams in a tourist site in Germany if you want to see what Banff looks like today, if you want to look at Sun Peaks, Whistler, Aspen. And you're just feeling a little bit... You're hearing the wild geese call to go on vacation again, but you just can't break away. Hop into this iPad for a little bit, check out what the Rhine is like, and relax for an afternoon.
Worldview allows you to view webcams anywhere in the world. It's got a huge database of webcams.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
From various resorts.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, but your unicorn didn't come through.
Oh.
Yeah, because this troll has something better. It's called Air Display.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what Air Display is?
I've got an inkling you're about to tell me.
It wirelessly turns your iPad into a second display for your notebook or for your computer.
What's the lag like on that?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's not very much.
All right.
It's worthwhile.
Okay.
It's worth looking at. We all need multiple displays.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in a super light world, let's say you live in the world where you've got one of those new fandangled MacBook Airs.
For instance.
And it's only a 12-inch display. You need another screen for your email to live on.
Okay.
It allows you to wireless, and your iPad lives sitting right next to your notebook, and it allows you to do a wireless connection, turning it into a second display. Even if it doesn't work very well, it's still cool.
Okay.
It's $9.95. It's something that I'm going to have to test out, but I like the idea of it.
Well, so no, for the idea, I give you points. For the app, I think we need to take a look at it first before we can.
You don't know how fast any of these cameras of yours come up either.
They're fairly live.
How have you tested it?
I have.
Like, have you tested Nepal?
Nepal. Yeah. Known for its tourist resorts.
Have you tested it?
I have not tested out Nepal.
No. I think we're in the exact same boat.
All right.
App of the week is a feature of MacStation. Thanks, Chris Miller.
Thank you.
App of the Week is brought to you by MacStation. Book a one-on-one training with our Apple specialists or sign up for one of our free workshops. Get the most out of your Mac with MacStation. FitTech is brought to you by Fit for Work, leaders in corporate health and wellness programs. Your fitness is our job.
As the summer heat comes upon us, some of us decide that it's probably not healthy to work out in the heat.
Who's that?
That's me.
No.
No. See,
no,
and here's my
don't
challenge,
spread
PJ.
Rumors. Don't
I'm worried
rumors.
About I'm worried about heat stroke because
oh, and so, as opposed to the heart and the stroke that you'll get by okay, not exercising.
Okay. PJ yeah. Ren is in to talk about Fit Tech, and but summer heat people yep. you know you do get a little bit lethargic in the summertime,
you
and
do.
And if you can't get up early in the morning, and by the time the evening rolls around, you're too tired to work out. What do people do about staying safe in the heat?
Well, you could work out in an air conditioning building.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, first thing in the morning, if you've got to be outside, first thing in the morning and in the evening. Mm-hmm. And that's especially true, too, for elderly or if you're on medications or if you're affected by asthma because of the smog.
Just out of curiosity, I know you haven't prepped for this. Is there a difference? Like, is it all personal stuff? Like, if I work out too late in the day,
yes.
if I work out at all, but if it's too late in the day, I have trouble sleeping.
Yes, that's
like
normal.
Yeah,
yep.
that
that's
is normal.
Normal
it's
reaction.
Not me being abnormal. So
no.
Morning is better.
Morning is better. And they yeah. also claim that morning is better, too, if you have high blood pressure. Because
okay.
exercise produces a vasculating effect on the blood vessels. So it relaxes the blood vessels for up to 12 hours.
And you feel good all day because you did your
yeah,
exercise.
And I find, too, that you're less likely to, you know, you wake up in the morning, you exercise, you can go on with your day.
Yeah.
However, if you put your exercise to after work, there'll always be something else.
It's
there'll
looming.
Be something else.
It looms.
Yeah.
It's like it's
yeah,
like
and you can
doom
push it off because
them.
Nobody wants to do it. There's
and then
only
you're
a
so
few
tired.
Fools, such as myself, that have
do you
to.
Actually like exercise?
Love it.
Really? You
yeah,
look
talk to my
it?
Husband. I'm a bear if I don't work out.
Oh, okay.
I gotta work out. But anyways,
okay.
so yeah, hot weather tips.
Okay.
So if you do find you're getting too hot, get yourself a handkerchief, wet it down with cool water, put it around your neck.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best way to bring down your core body temperature. Drink lots of water. And a lot of people, you know, it's a no-brainer while you're exercising, but hydrate beforehand.
That's the thing, because once you're really exercising, does much of that water actually make it in your system? How long does it take you to metabolize that water?
I think it's fairly quickly, actually.
It does,
yeah,
okay.
yeah. But, and if you find that you're exercising or sweating, you know, profusely, then you may want to add a Gatorade. I'm not a big fan of them, though, because of the high calorie and high sugar content. Another popular thing that I get my clients to do, or we get our clients to do, is to just sprinkle unrefined sea salt in your water, and that's got a really high mineral and potassium count.
Unrefined sea salt?
Yes. Must be unrefined, though, and not that much, just a little sprinkle. And then there's another product out called Sport Vega that you can add to your water and just shake it up.
Sport Vega.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. But the main thing is water. I mean, for most of us, we're not working out at that level that we need all those extra protein enhancements and stuff like that. We
exactly.
just basically.
The average, you and I, yeah.
What,
water,
me.
We're fine.
Don't incorporate yourself
I'm
in that.
I'm still, though, I'm not working at the elite athlete status
yeah.
that I believe that warrants all these pre, during, and post workout drinks.
So a little bit of common sense. Keep yourself cool by a wet handkerchief around the neck. And when I play, when I'm fishing
hat.
In the heat, I'll wear a hat, but I'll soak it in the water.
How many times did I tell you? Fishing is not a sport.
I'm just discussing heat.
Okay.
I'll soak it in the lake, and then I'll put it on my head, and that makes my head wet a little bit, but it also seems to evaporate a lot. It cools me down a lot.
I'm wearing
just
a
having
hat,
a wet
too.
Hat.
Wearing
just
a hat is, yeah.
Oh, you have to wear a hat.
Vital,
but,
vital.
But making it wet as well.
You can also put your water bottle, too, in the freezer. We do that quite often when we're hiking the next day.
Okay.
Yeah, and then as you're hiking or running
nice
or whatever,
water.
Yeah, it thaws out and you
and
slip away.
And it's so refreshing to have nice cold water.
It is refreshing, very refreshing. Slowly add intensity, okay? So don't go out and add a whole bunch of mileage for the first time. You know, uh-huh. it takes 14 days to acclimatize to a climate. So,
okay.
yeah, allow yourself some chance to get used to the climate and get used to the temperature.
Okay.
But, yeah, if you have to be outside morning and late evening's the best.
Is the best time.
Yeah.
Okay, so be smart out there, folks.
Yep.
PJ Ren, Fit for Work. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Brought to you by Fit for Work, making sluggish workplaces into invigorated workplaces. Visit us online at www.fitforwork.ca.
It's July, and do you know what July is? July is mortgage month.
Oh, I thought you were going to say sunny month, and then
no.
I was going to correct you and say, no, it hasn't been.
No, it's mortgage month. Actually,
okay,
every month is mortgage month when it comes to knowing if you have a good mortgage or not. And do you know how to figure out if you have a good mortgage?
Look how much money you have left after your paycheck.
Go to BillyMack.com, Billy Mack with an I. Bill Macklin Mortgages. He has done my mortgage since I was knee-high to a grasshopper.
Well, back then, when you were a young lad, you could probably afford a real mortgage in this city.
Before I did radio, when I was on TV, when I was in the big time,
yes.
That's when I, but now I'm concerned. I want to make sure that I've got, that my mortgage is the best possible mortgage for me. Bill Macklin Mortgages, mortgage brokers really do an awful lot. Everybody that every one of my friends' kids that's buying their first house, I tell them, go to a mortgage broker because they look at all of the mortgages, they talk to all the lenders, they work for you, not just trying to get you into one bank's product or one financial lender's product. And Bill Macklem, he's who I trust.
A small percentage could save you like $100 or hundreds of dollars a month.
It can make a difference. And what does it cost you to check it out? Drop by BillyMack.com. Joining me online now, Curtis Peterson, who is the VP of Advertising for ClearlyContact.ca. Now, thanks for joining us, Curtis.
No problem, Steve.
You know, when I looked at you guys for the first time, I thought, you know, there's probably four or five things that I would never think of doing online. Online dentistry, for example, didn't seem to me to be something that I would get really engaged in. And buying my glasses online always seemed like such a almost a religious rite. Because I've been wearing glasses since I was like 7 years old. But you guys thought that there's a market online, and I was wrong. You were right. There seems to be a great market online for selling and dispensing glasses.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And I mean, for us initially out of the gate, we started off as a contact lens business.
And that makes a lot of sense. So you're basically, because people would have to refresh their order of contact lenses because they're disposable, right? So you were a great. They could save some money by ordering from you online, and that's a business case that obviously had some real good legs to it.
Exactly. I think that's sort of an obvious purchase for people. They have a couple of boxes of contacts in their cupboard at home. They know exactly the product that they use, and to go online and make that purchase isn't a big stretch. Eyeglasses, however, like you mentioned, is a bit more of a stretch, and I think one of the reasons why is because there's a couple of elements there. One, you don't have a box to look at, so you mm-hmm. don't necessarily know what you need. And the other portion of it is fashion. And once you put fashion into the e-commerce world where you're not able to necessarily touch and feel, it becomes a little bit more of a difficult purchase for some people.
Now, is that what you consider to be the biggest stop, is the fact that people can't see the glasses on themselves would be the first barrier for entry? Or would it be the measurements and making sure that the glasses had the proper fit and they worked properly as the tool that glasses are supposed to be?
Yeah, it's really the latter. There's really people's first hesitation is the fact that, you know, over the years they've gotten glasses before and they've gone to a professional to have the glasses fit. They're not overly familiar with the idea of a prescription and what their prescription exactly is. Mm-hmm. And they really look to a professional in order to help them through the process of getting the right eyeglasses for them. Where we come in is, you know, your prescription that you have for your eyeglasses, normally when you're leaving your optical store, you end up with that on a piece of paper as well. Or if you don't, you can very easily ask for it. And it's just a series of numbers, and it's very easy for you to then, you know, take those numbers and enter them into a field on a website and end up with, you know, the same prescription lenses that you would have if you had bought them from a retail store. And I think because people feel that eyeglasses are a prescription product, they feel that, you know, that they've traditionally gone to a professional to fit them, that it's a little bit of a stretch for them. And what we're showing people is that, you know, as long as you have a prescription and as long as you have that available to you, we can provide you the tools necessary to actually complete that purchase on your own.
And in the end of the day, the dollar savings of your online service is phenomenal.
Yeah, and I think that's really, you know, we help people over the hurdle of a difficult purchase by just providing them with, you know, extreme value. And, you know, that's one of the things people look online in order to save money. And that's nothing new. And we're able to provide people with, you know, those significant savings just based on our business model. You know, we don't have expensive retail stores. We have a large optical lab. We're, you know, manufacturing in the thousands a day rather than the ones and twos that a traditional optical store would. So we obviously have the benefits of volume and scale. So we're able to push those savings back to the customer, and those savings are really, you know, the enticement for a customer to try this new fangled way of buying eyeglasses and doing it online. And what we found is the people that decide to try it out are pleasantly surprised and are saving a lot of money in the process.
And when you and I had our very first conversation, you said something to me which it really stayed with me, is that eyeglasses, and it's because I've worn them since I was a kid, they're almost like a medical appliance that I feel like I need a pair, and they're something that I need to make it through my daily life with. So I never looked at them as a piece of clothing the way I look at shoes or shirts or jackets. So I always had one pair of glasses that I wore. But you want people to start thinking about glasses as a fashion accessory that you can wear different pairs for different purposes.
Exactly. I mean, affordability really provides the ability for customers to have multiple pairs. And one of the things that we always like to talk about is, you know, why do people treat their feet better than their face? You, as I'm sure all your listeners, have multiple pairs at home of shoes in your closet. And really, if you have 10 pair of shoes for going out or sports or recreation or what have you, why do you only have one pair of eyeglasses? It doesn't really make sense. And, you know, the answer to that is obvious, and it's because, well, buying eyeglasses is expensive. It can be somewhat of a daunting experience. It can be inconvenient. And we're really trying to change that and just really flip the whole business on its head and say, you know, buying eyeglasses doesn't need to be that way. It can be economical. It can be fun. It can be something. It can be the sort of purchase that you should be willing to do often, and you should be willing to have a number of eyeglasses so that, you know, you can match your eyeglasses to your outfit or have a pair for sports or the weekend or what have you.
Well, I bought my first pair online. So I went to your site, and I wanted a new pair of sunglasses. So I did the whole order form, and I got to tell you, it was good for the most part. There was still a few points where I was, you know, very insecure how it's going to look on me. And you've got some tools that allow you to put the glasses on your face and see how they look, and those work pretty well. And to be honest, for me, the fact that I'm nearly blind, when I try on glasses in a normal store, I can't see what I look like in the mirror anyways. So it's really a crapshoot anyways. It's more what other people think than me. But when they finally arrived, I was kind of like a kid in a candy store. I was really excited when the box arrived and I got to look and I got to see what was in the package in the mail.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're exactly right. When you do get to our site, it can be initially a bit of a daunting first minute or two where you try to get your bearings and figure out, okay, I'm about to buy a product that I've never bought without the consultation of someone else, and mm-hmm. how do I go about doing this? And we try to provide customers with a variety of different ways to find the most appropriate product for you. So along the left-hand bar, we have something called a refined search, which allows you to refine down our list of what's about 2,000 pair of eyeglasses, which, you know, that can be part of mm-hmm. The daunting piece out of the gate is, okay, how do I choose from all these eyeglasses? But we provide a refined search, which allows you to sort by things such as gender or frame size, frame shape, material color, and brand and price. So you can really narrow your search down to something that is more suitable to what you're looking for and then choose from a far smaller group of eyeglasses.
Yeah, and winnowing it down into a manageable group is, I think, an important thing that everybody that shops at your site should do, because it can be, as you say, it can be a little bit overwhelming. Now, we're running a little bit short on time now, but I think we should point out one major factor. You guys have, because of the fact that it's new to so many people and it is, you know, it's a process that you're going to learn about as you go along, you've got a really good return policy.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things we understand. We're somewhat breaking new ground here. And in order for people to try out our service, we really need to ensure that there's a high level of trust in our business and what we're doing. And people are feeling that what they're about to do, the purchase that they're about to make is really risk-free, is how we try to position it. So we actually have a 365-day return policy where if you purchase a pair of eyeglasses from us, you're unhappy with them for whatever reason, either you maybe entered the prescription wrong or they don't fit right, or, you know, a month down the road, you're feeling that these just really aren't the right eyeglasses for you, you can return them to us free of charge. We'll actually pay for the shipping back as well. So really The risk piece, we try to remove that completely so that people will try out our service.
Curtis Peterson is the VP of Advertising for Clearly Contacts. I think I'd love to hear from our listeners, those of you who give it a shot. Drop us a note, let us know what you think. From personal experience, it's certainly something that I'd like to return to. I've got a rockin' pair of sunglasses that I look great as I'm cruising about in now. Thanks so much, Curtis.
Thanks, Steve, for having me.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Joining me in studio now, Susan Amell, a photoelectronics manager with London Drugs. And Susan, summer is theoretically upon us. I want to talk about GPS options, because I've got a nice little GPS in my car, and I can't take it out with me if I'm going for a walk. But I wonder about making that decision between what type of GPS to purchase, because people probably think about it for their car, but then, you know, it's good to get out and walk the trails too.
Definitely. And there's a few different choices for that. Mostly the ones for the car, like the Garmin and the Magellan basic ones, they're excellent for the car, and they're excellent if you're doing street walking.
Mm-hmm.
So, that didn't sound very well.
Well, I'm not, well, not street walking for profit, but for entertainment.
Exactly.
We'll say. Okay.
Street tours.
Okay.
So you're looking at, like, in the city of New York, and I'm sure there's some for Vancouver and that now, you can do certain street tours where you can see the highlights, you know, the nice clock that we have in Gastown and those highlights. And you can actually use them and navigate through the maps that they...
So they're great for tourists. They'll actually kind of give you a walking tour.
Exactly. And they have a rechargeable battery in them that will last definitely for a day.
Oh, okay.
And then you can charge it at home or in your car when you're...
And so, but they're not really a robust option. They're, you know, if you're going to be out hiking, if you're going to be in any sort of weather, are they a good option?
Not those ones. There are ones that are good for the trails. Mm-hmm. EarthMate makes a great selection of ones for trails. And you can do topo maps, you can do maps if you're boating, you can do all sorts of maps. Mm-hmm. And they even have ones that you can connect to satellites. So you can actually plot your tour that you've taken, mm-hmm. and you can send it via satellite, and other people can log in and see where you've been.
Oh, so all your waypoints can be logged, so you can actually put them in. I know some guys do that with fishing maps. They do that. They say, this is a hot spot, this isn't a hot spot. Then usually they're lying if it's a hot spot. It's usually not, because they don't want anybody else to
find it. They don't want anybody
it.
To catch the fish.
And of course, those are going to be really super popular with the people that are doing geocaching too.
Exactly, the little treasure maps that are along the way.
Now, what about the difference between in brands? Because for the most part, we're down to Magellan and Garmin. Those are the two kind of huge companies.
TomTom is out there as well, yes.
TomTom's really just really for cars and stuff,
exactly.
though, really? And now, what about, is there much of a difference between the brands that you notice?
Not a lot of difference. You'll see various features on both of them. So Bluetooth technology, so you can sync your Bluetooth from your phone in your car. Have hands-free speaking, so you don't actually have to use a handset. You can use your...
Yeah, I see. I find that a lot of the GPS, especially the car ones, have extra features now built in that are really kind of mirroring some of the features you have in your smartphone and other things. The ability to listen to MP3 music through them if you want.
Look at pictures
and that sort of stuff, which I find it's a little excessive. I don't know how many people are actually using their GPS to entertain the kids watching a movie while they're driving. I'm just not sure that that's a big part.
I don't think that would be a good advice, especially if you're driving and trying to watch
trying to watch A Fish Called Wanda. I love this part. What about the GPSs that allow you to for training purposes? They're usually smaller. They're usually more tracking you rather than showing you where to go.
There are some, actually, they look like a wristwatch, and they're training ones. Garmin makes some. Timex makes an Ironman that's actually a GPS watch.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can do is you can track your pace, your distance, your heart rate, and everything. And you can track each run. And so you can see your progress. If you're getting faster, if it's taking you longer, you can track everything on those. And it's just a little watch.
Yeah. And with those, you can also do buddy training and stuff so other people can see your stats online. A friend of mine had, his wife has one of those. And they flew from Melbourne to Vancouver, and she hadn't turned off her watch, and it put down that was a training run. People were some impressed with how fast she could run across the ocean.
That was very quick, I bet.
But those are really not for doing navigation. Those are to give you feedback on your own training.
And
what do they cost?
They're around $200 and up.
So I guess the last thing that I wanted to kind of touch base on as far as the whole GPS angle goes is the ability to add new maps and to be able to import additional data. Is there much of a difference again between any of the brands? Like, I've got this Backroads map book, which I use and I love. It allows me to find all of the back lakes and boat launches, and especially the logging roads, you know, if I'm driving at night, being able to know which fork to take on the logging road. But it says that it only supports the Garmin GPS. Is that common, or do most of the maps work on both the systems?
Garmin will have their own maps, and there's probably some available for Magellan, but mm-hmm. they're probably different from different map companies.
Oh, okay, but they all allow you to add maps and things like those walking tours and stuff, I think.
Exactly, yeah. They're all downloadable. Usually there's an expandable memory card slot, so you can just put in a micro SD or an SD card.
And yeah, you don't even have to connect them to your computer.
Exactly.
Okay. Susan Amell is the Fuller Electronics Manager with London Drugs. They've got a broad selection of different GPSs. You can stop in, have a look, and pick the one that works best for you. It is time for Mobile Tech with Alwyn Hsu, the Director of Sales for Wireless, etc. Alwyn, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. Steve, yourself?
I'm doing really well, too. And I read a report recently that predicted the penetration of different phone operating systems, because that's the real exciting battle these days, is the phone operating system. The computer operating system is still just two players, and it's so boring, but phones are exciting. And they said, surprisingly, that they thought that the Android operating system was going to be over 50% of the market within a few years, which is pretty high praise. And that remains to be seen. I don't know whether they're right or not, but we know Android is here to stay, and it's blossoming as far as adoption into different handsets. So let's talk about it a little bit. What's your take on Android?
Sure. You know, and for a lot of people, I don't actually like talking about Android. I like talking more about Google. Right?
Okay.
Yes. Because Google's really the company behind the Android operating system. And, you know, you look at in 3 years, they've gone from nobody knowing what Android was, mm-hmm. not even being a phone in Canada. It launched in the U.S. before it launched in Canada.
Yeah. And confusingly, that launched as the Android phone, which causes a lot of people to confuse sure. over the operating system versus the phone.
You think it was the one phone. No, yeah. It's an operating system.
But when we talk about it here now, we're talking about the operating system, which is also on tablets as well as phones.
Exactly. You know, it's a very robust platform. And what Google has done and what Google does is, you know, they build a platform that is open so that anybody can come and build for this platform. And, you know, if you're looking at operating systems out there, if you want one that you can really tweak and change so that it is really personalized to you, the Android operating system is probably the best one out there.
When I talk to people about it, I kind of say it's still maybe a little bit more for geeks or people that are willing to tweak things a little bit, whereas the Apple OS is pretty locked solid. Certainly the Windows 7 OS, you can't touch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the way it is, and that's how it is. But the Android operating system, I feel like I'm on a computer.
You know, it definitely. And it, you know, Google's started out being a website, and they've gone into all these different areas on the computer. And now they're just saying that the phone is a different computer.
Mm-hmm.
Just a smaller one that fits in your pocket. Right?
So, what in your mind are the absolute strengths of the Android? Why is Android here to stay?
Well, Android's here to stay because, you know, it is a platform that's constantly evolving. So every 6 months or so, you're going to see an update from Google of a new operating system. You know, the most recent one is Android 3.0, which they call Honeycomb, mm-hmm. which was built for tablets. But they also have Android 2.3, which just recently launched. There's a phone in Canada called the Nexus S mm-hmm. that's coming out that's going to have this latest and greatest. So if you're a person who really likes the latest and greatest in operating systems, Android's the best place to look.
Because you then are – you're right down in the guts of your phone occasionally. And we shouldn't make it sound like it's back in the Linux days where you're installing packets
No.
and things like that. It's much more user-friendly than that. As far as installation, you go to an app store and you choose an app and you install it. And you can modify your phone and tweak your phone a little bit. But you should be up to date on things like version numbers and what the new capabilities of the system coming out are, because – as new versions of the operating system come up with your platform, with your phone, you might have additional functionality that you're not taking advantage of.
And that's a great point. You know, with Android 2.1, which is a couple versions ago, they released a feature called Mobile Hotspot. So now all of a sudden, your cell phone can mm-hmm. be used as an internet router.
Yes.
Right? So I can take my phone, turn on the Mobile Hotspot, and I can connect my computer over Wi-Fi, connect the two together, and I can now browse the web on my laptop using my phone's data plan.
And that's a form of soft tethering, which is an ideal way of gaining access to the net with all of your devices from anywhere at any time. And it really speaks to the openness that Android and that Google have, the philosophy of openness.
Exactly. And that's what they're really promoting, is we want this phone to do anything that you want it to do. Mm-hmm. And so they're really pushing the whole technology barrier in terms of they want to get the features out there quicker. They're not waiting for it to be perfect necessarily. They just want to get it out
that's
quicker.
That's the thing that you have to be a little bit prepared for. I think Microsoft, because of what happened in the past, you're not going to see anything released in Windows Phone 7 that isn't locked and loaded and finished. Apple, very much the same. Apple is all about the finished product, and they're all about refinement. Google's a little more shooting from the hip. Yeah. We'll release it. Maybe it's not quite ready, but it's so cool we want people to play with it anyways. And then by the time they realize that it's not finished, they've moved on to the next thing anyways.
But it gets better, right?
Yes.
You know, when you look at the first Android phones, like the same thing with the first iPhones, you know, they were good. But you look at the most recent ones in the operating system, they're just that much better.
They become refined.
Yeah.
So Android is for Zoomers. If you're interested in tinkering a little bit and always upping the ante, if not, maybe the iPhone or maybe the Windows Phone 7 or the BlackBerry might be a way to go. But for those of you that are willing to work with your phone, Android might be a real good solution. Alwin Hsu is the Director of Sales for Wireless Etc. Thanks for sharing with us.
Thanks, Steve.
I'm Steve Dotto.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Mac Tech, brought to you by MacStation, your Apple solutions experts.
It is a good day for Apple fans. Any day that Apple releases new products is a good day. So Chris Miller is in to talk to me. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm very well. How's yourself?
Yeah, I'm good. It's an exciting day for you guys in the Apple world.
It's
me. I'm part of the Apple world too.
Yeah. It's a little bit nuts, though.
But it's so Apple's made some new announcements. We knew that Lion was launching, and we've talked about Lion, and we might talk about Lion again in future weeks. But right now, I want to talk about new hardware. Two pieces announced today, a brand new MacBook Air and a new Mini. We'll talk about Mini next week. Let's talk about the Air this week. Tell me about it.
Well, I mean, I've always loved the Air. The Air is fantastic. It weighs nothing. For the solid-state drive that it has, gives it a real world of power. But the place that it's always really lacked is the processor. The Intel Core 2 Duo, especially the little low-powered one that Intel built for them, was never that powerful.
But everybody always said with the Air, you're not going to notice the lack of power because it's so fast because of the solid-state drive.
It's true. You wouldn't notice it unless you were doing something beyond what one might call a clerical work. So obviously doing documents, looking at pictures, listening to music, you're totally fine. But of course, we also have phones that do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to do anything, editing a movie using Aperture or Adobe, the Air was not the correct device.
Did anybody want to do that? Was the expectation that this would replace a high-end MacBook Pro?
It was never thought to replace a high-end MacBook Pro, but some people were obviously trying to make it replace a low-end MacBook Pro, the $1,500, $1,200 models.
So they were loading Final Cut on it and expecting to be able to do some editing.
Yeah, they were putting a piano in the back of a Porsche and expecting to be able to move.
But with a solid-state drive, that means that they had to be plugging into something because they wouldn't have been able to have all their files on that drive. They would have had to plug in for an external drive, so you're losing all of that portability of the people. What are you thinking is what I'm saying.
They were trying to, you know, round peg, square hole and just beating on it until it would react.
So in typical Apple fashions, instead of just letting people figure it out, they've decided to just make it way more powerful so that people now will try and edit on it.
Yeah, I mean, they upgraded it, which is probably going to cause a whole new realm of problems, but there we are. They've changed it so they're all the new Sandy Bridge, which is the new line that's in all the new iMacs and in all the new MacBook Pros.
Sandy Bridge is what?
Sandy Bridge is a type of chip.
Okay.
A type of processing chip.
Okay.
It's the new generation of chips from Intel.
Okay. And Apple's saying on their website it's like 2.5 times faster.
I haven't seen the actual benchmarks yet, but when they changed the speeds in the MacBook Pros and the iMacs, they all went up about 45% on benchmark, which means, say, if you're rendering a video in 5 minutes, now it's going to take 2.5 minutes.
Wow. So the new – now they've also – with releasing the new MacBook Air, which is – dropped in price.
Mm-hmm.
It's
they normalized with the American prices, so we're not paying the $50 we live in Canada tax.
Oh, okay.
Which I thought was nice.
Yeah, because I guess people were going down the States and buying it with a stronger Canadian dollar.
Yeah.
They were buying it for, they were saving $75 or $100.
Well, I always sort of said to people who mentioned that, well, it's about the cost of a tank of gas and a meal to get there and back.
Yes, yeah.
So it all equaled out in the way, but now they don't even have that excuse.
They don't even have to worry about it. But so the new MacBook Air is out, but they've also condensed the line. There's been some retraction.
They killed the book.
How'd they kill a book? I'm not ready for that.
It just, the MacBook was sort of, when Apple came back with a vengeance about 10 years ago, the MacBook was the workhorse that brought them in.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, it's been falling behind and not getting that many refreshes. And for the price to power ratio versus like the 13-inch MacBook Pro, it just wasn't there. You spend $1,000 or $1,050 for a MacBook, or you spend $1,250 for a MacBook Pro that is literally twice as powerful and has more ports. Mm-hmm. And it's aluminum versus plastic. I've always preferred the aluminum to the white plastic myself. Some people were the opposite, but there it is. Now all they're doing is the only people who can get MacBooks now are for educational institutions. So if you're UBC, not a UBC student, but if you are UBC,
it's not even available to students anymore.
You can pick up a MacBook.
Wow, I'm just not ready to say goodbye.
Well, you don't have to. Yours is still working well.
Yeah, but now it's, you know, there's something about having a notebook that's still current, even if mine isn't the most current model, and that's going to have to go.
All right.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, MacBook. It's time. But the MacBook has been a faithful companion for me and my family for many a year.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a good day. This is a sad day. I started off with saying this is a good day. It's actually a sad day.
Well, as I told you, we can make some little modifications to it to make it a super MacBook.
Yeah.
Make it Mighty Mouse.
And I you know what? I'm intrigued by the Air now.
Well, I know a guy who might be able to help you out with that.
If you are interested in the new MacBook Air, I can think of no better place to go than down at Mac Station. You might be lucky and Chris might be there, or he might not, in which case you might be lucky. I'm just kidding.
That's
I'm
funny.
Just teasing.
That's funny.
I was just snapping your chain. Thanks for coming in and filling us in on this. I'm a little melancholy now, though. I'm a little melancholy because an era is passing.
Change is hard, but it is often good.
Chris Miller, words to live by.
MacTech is brought to you by MacStation, your environmentally friendly solution. Trade up to the newest technology. Save taxes on the new machine. Give a second life to your old Mac. MacStation, who said business and pleasure don't mix?
Next week on the show, we are going to be talking to the folks at ASUS. And in anticipation of ASUS coming on the show, guess what we got, Art?
Is it a prize?
It's a prize. It's an ASUS Netbook, a 12-inch notebook computer that we are giving away to some lucky registrant.
We're giving away a computer?
A whole computer, and it's a cool computer. It's the brand new ASUS, their 12-inch netbook. It's kind of a cross between netbook and notebook. It's 12 inches.
Am I beautiful. Still not allowed to sign on for this?
You know what? You can apply.
I can?
Yeah. But if you win, I'm not going to tell you. Actually, I would tell you that you didn't. You can't win, Art. Dottotech.com. That's the place to go. You can win an ASUS notebook. Of course, at our website, you will find podcasts streaming all of the interviews of the show, so you can listen to this or previous episodes, as well as blog posts, lots of good ancillary information. Dottotech.com. It's that place you should be going.
I'm going to get my brother Bart to sign up.
And just like that, another episode of Dottotech is pretty much ready to go into the archives. Art, it's been a pleasure today.
Oh, it's been fun. I went to the Clearly Contacts website, and I don't need glasses, but I think I need a pair of fake glasses in order to make myself look smarter. So I went on there.
I could see on the display here while we were doing the interview, you were putting up a picture of yourself with some nice horn-rimmed glasses.
Yeah, a virtual mirror is what they called it.
You know, you maybe have a career doing something other than comedy. You looked serious. You looked trustworthy. You looked responsible. You look like you could be a real contributor to society, not just a comedian.
No, I picked that pair of glasses that shoots water from the glasses. So I think I'm sticking with comedian.
Well, there we go. Reminder, drop by our website because we are launching a new contest this week. You can win an ASUS netbook computer. We're going to be giving that away in early August. It's an exciting prize, of course, there. If you've missed any of the interviews or you want to listen to more Dottotech, it's all there at the website. Dottotech.com is the site. Next week, I know we got some great stuff coming up next week. What are we doing? Oh, I know we got Lindsay Smith coming on. We're going to be be talking social apps. We're going to be talking Google+. You're going to want to join us next week right here on Dottotech.